Hello, once again, you're here with your hosts from Drinks with Friends. I am Madison Ray.
And I'm that guy, right? Lovely Saturday guest today.
Keep it guessing. Right. You know, it's like, we can't, you know, I know we do this thing on a regular basis. Now it's like semi-regular. The last week was real crazy, real busy.
Well, it was your birthday.
I had a birthday. Yeah. There was a gala event.
Right.
Like, I slept a bunch. And I was just feeling, honestly, just real irresponsible.
Hey, it happens.
You know, like, can't nobody hold me down. I do what I want.
You've been working for a few months straight, solid, you know.
Hey, it's good to take a breather. It's also really confusing.
That's right.
You get to that kind of open space, and you're like, so what's next for my life?
Yeah.
The answer is, frankly, I don't know.
Yeah, I guess we were all kind of slacking off. I went to Miami.
I'm saying, like, it was a big week.
It
like,
was.
Real quick, how was Miami?
Oh, it was dope.
Wait. Give it three words.
Gators. alcohol.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's not your usual bag, homie. Like, what happened?
Third word. White.
Pardon? Yeah.
All right. So, yeah. So, we got to go to the Everglades. We went on fan boats, saw some gators and shit. So, that was dope. Alcohol. It was, the whole thing was basically, like, everything was open bar.
Everything was open.
No,
Miami was open.
No, like dead serious, middle of the day, right? Like, oh, we're having a beach day, so we got like this section of the beach like roped off for this whole all 700 of you if you all choose to go. So very long stretch of beach. We can't serve alcohol on the beach, but here before you take the shuttle, they have like the row lined up with coolers and different drinks, wines and beers and things. And
so you set up to fail.
And little mini coolers with like the resort logo emblazoned on them. They're like, load up, here's some towels, here's some drinks, have fun guys, go play in the ocean.
Okay, this is a bad idea for so many reasons. They're like, here's a bunch of liquor, go play in the ocean. That's how you die.
Nobody died. This time. Right, this time. Well, shit, trip's over now. I made it home.
But to see the resort, if this is a resort thing, that means they're doing this every day.
Yeah.
And, like, just
had
a 24-hour
pool, just, like, open bar. Like,
I'm saying.
But the pool, it wasn't that deep. Like, I think the deepest guy was, like, 5'8". So it was, like, right up to my forehead. But nobody was in fear of drowning.
Okay, let me just go there real quick. Grown folks drinking endlessly.
Yeah.
In a swimming pool is a bad combination because in my own experience, like, you know what happens when you put these elements together?
Yeah, someone drunk.
Someone takes a shit in the pool because like they can't control themselves.
I definitely got out before that happened.
You know what I'm saying? Like, aren't y'all grown?
Yeah.
How
Come on. And that's what was funny though, is because it was like a bunch of suit and tie wearing people, right? Like, and it was like, and so like it was basically Sam, she won an award. We got the trip.
Yeah.
So we're down there with all the other people that won the awards, like 300 plus their guests. And then included amongst them were like some of the higher ups, like the heads of departments. And
this,
that, the other people on the board. And I mean, basically, so then you get to the third one, white, it's a bunch of old white people. You know, a little minority sprinkled amongst the upper crust.
Casually.
Met the quota in the
1%. Strategically.
it was a good time. But yeah, this was their time to unwind, so they were all hammered.
Yeah.
And then they were dancing, and there was Macklemore mixes and all kinds of shenanigans. Oh, man, sweet. You don't have a Snapchat, or you would have saw it, because I posted that on Snap, like, I need this to delete, because, you know, I'm trying to get anybody in trouble, because I called them out for who they were. Like, yo, Wells Fargo, y'all are wild.
Fun fact for our listeners, if you know, get in that corporate world, like, look what's waiting for you on the other side.
Yeah, work hard. They'll give you a free trip and sauce you up for an extra.
Is that really a reward? I don't know.
I mean, yeah.
I feel like there's, I got a lot of feelings about this.
I mean, there was food, too.
Well, that's good. Yeah. That's good.
But then after all the resort and everything like that, on the last day, we, being the adventurous people that we are, decided to lift into like real Florida, like with real people, away from the resorts and Ferraris and whatnot. It's having this hole in the wall, like Cuban restaurants and like authentic Cuban sandwiches and
nice
coffee and shit. That was a good time.
Now, see, that's what I'm here for.
Right.
That's what I'm here for.
I mean, stuff, there were schedules and things like that, but yeah, any chance we got to like break away. All right, let's go see what it's really about.
Yeah.
You know, this shit is pretty.
So let's pay some bills real quick.
Yeah.
Of course, this podcast is brought to you from our friends at Andro DSM, Power Up.
And Susie Sweet Treat, Seek Ingredients Love,
not cocaine.
Yeah, Susie unveiled her line of keto treats, so you know.
I saw that.
Stay slim, one carb per cookie. They're delicious, so yeah.
And they stay glittery too.
That's right. Make sure your doo-doo twinkle.
I mean, real talk.
That's the magic.
All right, so we actually have some guests here today.
Yeah, sorry.
You know, drinks with friends means we always, you know, get our friends together. Let's go down the line and introduce ourselves.
All right. My name is River Wise.
And?
Just that. And.
Just, who are you?
I am a sophomore at Lincoln High School, and I'm currently in the collection punk, and I play Yahoo.com.
Hey!
I am Marquise Bundy.
Ooh,
I'm
another
also
silky baritone.
I'm saying the baritone is real. Yeah. The baritone is real.
I'm also a sophomore at Lincoln High School. I am the publicity head for our theater department, and I'm also in Honk. I play Drake, Ugly's father.
But he's not his actual father. Just to
okay,
clear
okay.
Out.
Just to clear that out. Clear that out.
I was questioning for a second. I was like, so
it's the deep baritone voice.
I'm Michael Williams. I'm the director over at Lincoln Theater Arts. I've known these gentlemen over here for
I go back to like
way
elementary
back.
School.
Yeah,
like Jane Perkins back in the day.
I mean, like if you can imagine the most like Iowa shit you've ever heard of in your life, like. The three of us have known each other, like, basically our whole lives.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, when you really do the math, it's more than 20 years.
Right.
Maybe even closer.
Like 25.
Closer to 25.
Yeah.
Gosh, which we're is, old, y'all.
Which is wild.
It's wild.
But that's, like, the magic of friendship.
It's true.
It's the magic of friendship.
True.
Yo, why are you making that face, my man?
It sounds like something you hear on, like, PBS Kids or right, something like
right.
that.
See,
the magic of friendship.
Before the days of easy
rainbow.
Access internet, PBS Kids was the shit.
Like, no joke, we'd go home and watch, like,
that's
Wishbone.
Right. What's the story, Wishbone?
Thanks.
What's like, you're dreaming of?
Our kids
oh, my
are,
God. Oh, my God.
They just don't know anymore. They don't know.
So it's interesting that you're putting on Honk.
Yes.
Because there's some history at this table
yes.
regarding this particular piece of work.
That's true.
Michael, myself, that guy Rye, we also did Honk when we were in high school.
Our senior year.
And was that part of the way you got to that choice, the nostalgia of like having something that was familiar?
Very much so. I mean, just in terms of last year, our shows were very much like heavy and deep and dark and depressing. And I made a promise to the kids. I was like, "Yo, this year we're gonna do like fun, light stuff." And so, what better way to do it? Like going through my like brain process of like, okay, what shows do I know that are fun and light? And oh, well, we did this show in high school. Like, let's do it. Like, it's cute. It's a kid show. Like. There's some really fun
family
parts.
Fun.
All right, let me just roll the clock back a little bit. Uh-huh. When Honk was initially announced when we were doing it, when I heard what it was, I was like, yo, no.
our reactions exactly.
Like, we're going to do a musical production of The Ugly Duckling.
Like, don't you, and we were
I'm
seniors.
Not eight.
Yeah, like, okay? Like, we were seniors like, yo, I'm grown.
Right, exactly. Like, you know I can buy porn and cigarettes, right? Like, you want me to do what?
That sounds oddly familiar.
Like, I'm about to go vote. And you want me to do what?
I'm stepping into my life.
Right? I got a job. You see this mustache? Do you think I'm telling the story of Ugly Duckling? Not today.
Yep, today.
Except
yep.
it was today.
Yep.
And
it saved our lives for 6 weeks.
Yeah. So let's talk about the show abstractly or on the whole. What are your impressions going through the material? How you feel
yeah,
about?
Yeah. How you feel after you actually got into what it was?
I think it is. It's really there's really more to it than like. Than what meets the eye, you know? Like, it's a story about acceptance, about understanding, about like, being
learning
with...
Learning to like yourself.
Yeah, learning to love who you are and being around those people that, like, that love you for who you are. It's a really great message, I think, especially in, like, today's culture, with all the stuff going around in the world. I think it's a good thing for like children and young people. I mean, well, not just children, for everyone, really.
Yeah.
To just have that like outlet, and just like for it to be like said to them in that way, I just think I feel very proud to be able to like say it to them through this production.
Yeah. You're the one who bullies me the most in this show. I'm just going
to
say that.
He has the most to learn.
But River, it's called acting.
No, he bullies me in real life.
Acting.
Acting. Yeah.
Easy to identify with the part.
It's an easy one for them to dive into. Yeah, the
amount of times that I get like pushed to the ground is like...
Oh, it's so much.
Immense. Like, in Act 1 alone, I want to say that I'm pushed, like, 5 times.
It's so much.
Yeah, we went aggressive. I mean...
We just kind of, like... We were handed scripts and said, go nuts. So, and usually that's how it goes, but it's really interesting, because for this experience in particular, it was not like the previous shows that we've done, where we've had, you know, a lot of time, because we started... auditions, and then there were a whole bunch of snow days, like 3 consecutive snow days in a row.
Right.
So we are already pushed back a little bit, and then like things just like started going haywire, and like time just started running out. And before we know it, we're at Tech Week, and we haven't ran Act 2 yet at all.
So, you know, in my life, I felt like, If there isn't that feeling like the house is burning down and you're sitting in the middle of the house, then what are you doing it for?
that's
terror and panic are necessary ingredients.
Yo, I'm a lifelong procrastinator. I feel like I get my best work done last minute. Like, this is due on Thursday, Wednesday night, 11 o'clock. Like, better get started.
I better get started. Wasn't there a thing that's due? When is that? Tomorrow? Oh, I got it.
8 minutes from now. Let's do it.
Forced excellence, because you can't let the people down.
But I think that urgency component of them too leads them to like, okay, like we're at kind of ground zero, where it's like, okay, I know what I gotta do, like it's time to get it done, like which, I mean, you don't want to live in that state, I don't think, all the time, but sometimes it can be effective. Like the last couple of days we've been plowing through things, and it's like, y'all, we gotta go. So they've been rising to the occasion, which is really cool to see from this side.
Yeah. Well, you know, the thing is, especially I've always made the point to other performers that rehearsal time versus real time, there is a weird like warp that happens in that we're like,
right,
like we're working on a thing and you're like, how long ago was that? Oh, it feels like months ago. Oh no, that was like 6 days. Oh. Well, we got a lot done in 6 days.
Yeah.
And you know, and even the notion of, you know, theater is a living, breathing thing. So even when you're putting it on stage, it's still growing and evolving because of the acting and reacting and all of the X factors that can happen in a live show. So that being said, let's talk about the music of Home.
Yes.
It goes a lot of interesting directions. Want to unpack that a little bit?
So that was always our biggest thing too, in terms of from the music standpoint of being like, okay, kids show, great. Like, and then you look at the music and you're like, what is this? Like, you're at, like, I mean, just, you hear children's show and you assume like, oh, this is going to be simple stuff. Like, yeah. Melodyland, woo, yeah, great. And then like, as we're unpacking the show and learning these songs and stuff, like, it's just like,
it's nuts.
We're doing like six part harmonies that are like jazzy. Yeah. Like,
now I don't know the origin of who wrote this show. Do you know?
It's by, oh goodness, put me on the spot. Anthony Drew, I think, is the composer, and then
George Stiles, I know.
George Stiles is the other one. So I think Anthony Drew and George Stiles.
Where are these guys from? What are they? Have they done any other works that are of note?
I don't think so.
Fair, because the thing is, I don't know, just kind of like
it's an obscure show.
Well, partly, but they're also like making a lot of pop culture references.
Right.
Like there's a sequence between Ugly and the Cat that feels very Tom and Jerry-esque. And I think there's even notes in the script. It's like, do it like Tom and Jerry do it.
Yeah.
You know? Or a lot of the characters are actually caricatures of other kind of like pop culture figures.
Right.
In of the time that it was written,
right.
Whatever, what have you.
Right.
And so there is this really interesting thing that where it feels like it borrows very heavily from
right.
Some of these like
iconic.
Exactly.
Yeah,
like, exactly.
But I think that also makes it really easy for the actors to portray their own feelings onto it, to portray their
sure.
own, like their own interpretation of how these characters are supposed to be, because you just kind of you're able to go off of instinct based on how you've met these cultural icons.
Yeah. Life,
you
know? So you played the bullfrog.
I did.
In our production, and mm-hmm. and he has really one number.
Right.
But the most show-stopping ass number of the whole thing.
Arguably the best.
I shut that shit down.
Yo, they had my man dancing around in swimming flippers.
Yeah, swimming flippers. I don't know if you're in Roosevelt, but I had to walk from the back of the auditorium all the way down the aisle and then like up around the stage and like flip-on flippers. Like my
really? Thing.
You have a same...
Similar, we're just a little floor plan dance.
Right,
yeah.
Yeah.
So, like, you know, show's going on, people are talking, here I come flapping down the aisle. But there's no secret once I arrive. Like,
yeah. flap.
Yeah, along with, like, my five or six kids that I had trailing behind. I was a single dad.
Holding it down.
That's right.
Holding it down
for my family. Just, you know, looking for somebody to love me, including, you know, my faults, warts and all. Was the song.
Yeah. Warts and all.
Warts and all. So yeah, it was a good time, and somehow that I like was popular for a while after that show. Like it was weird to go out in public and have people be like, "Yo, weren't you that guy?" Like, well, yes, I was. Like, oh, here's this free ice cream because you know high school,
right? High school is like ice cream, right?
Sure,
I'll take it.
Is it free?
That was the question because I'll be back every day. But yeah, it was a good song. I felt like it had a really strong, powerful message. And yeah, it was cool to have little kids run up to it and be like, "Oh my God, I love you!" So, and that was like the last time I was ever on a stage like acting. So, yeah,
wow.
I know, right? So that was a way. That was a big way to go out.
Right, you're like,
right on top.
Right. Good luck surpassing that.
Peaked. I'm good now.
Right? Go out on a high note.
There you go.
So you, but you also now you remind me the name
of
the character.
Greylag.
Greylag. Yes.
Yeah. The wing command or goose commander.
Goose commander.
Yeah. Which is fun to like go from the other side now and like talk to like the kids that we have playing the same thing because it's like. Thinking back on my process, but then also realizing like how little I knew back then, and not like from any fault of like any teacher, but like just being like, oh,
yeah,
I'm gonna sing here and I'm gonna move this way and acting.
Right, right. You just tell me where to go.
Yeah, and then I'll go there and say words.
Now there are some really interesting kind of like sleight of hand kind of magic tricks built into the show as well. Very visual. How are you processing going through all of those production things where you have to, you know, like these quick changes and this happens here, you know, I guess.
Oh, right. Well, it's not easy, firstly. We only have, what, 7 mics?
Yeah,
so
the joys of public education.
So we are constantly shifting mics backstage, and then like we're also changing costumes. At least like a lot of the ensemble is changing costumes because it's like every 2 songs there's another big group number, and then different people have to have different mics. And I think there's like 4 constant mics, and the other 3 are changing, and. It's crazy, hectic, but...
They're working. Like, they... Like,
right.
A lot of them signed up for the show and like, okay, yeah, like, let's do this. This is fun. And then kind of as we're going along in the process, like, end of the show comes and they're like, I just, like, was legitimately on stage for 2 hours, like, and had, like, 20 seconds to be off stage, and then I'm back on as this other character.
Well, you know, that's the, I think the frequent misunderstanding that, oh, if I take a small part, I don't have to do a whole lot,
right.
Which is the exact opposite. Right. Sometimes your choristers are like the hardest working, you know, members of the ensemble, because right. they've got to be in a dozen different places. And
yeah, I play the owl in addition to the frog.
Right.
I had to do that. I had to sing extra parts for the right. show. Like, oh, Brian, we need your voice on this and this and this and this. I'm like, oh, all right. Yeah, cool.
Lend us your silky baritone.
You got it. Shout out, Ms. Glaive.
Okay, I feel like we're far enough away from it now that I can reveal this secret. They were like, we need you to sing backstage. Guess where I did not sing backstage at all. Like, I was like, nah.
Master Ray was a diva.
Yeah.
Like 2004.
I'm sorry, I need to focus on my parts, and I'm going to be
good with once me. I get in that headspace, I can't come out of it.
Right. Like, I'm sorry. I'd love to help. Or the, don't worry, I'll be there.
That sounds oddly familiar.
Master, where were you? Huh?
You said what?
Was that supposed to be somewhere? You said...
Oh, that was then?
Oh.
I'm sure you guys took care of it.
But do you have receipts?
I'll get it next time.
Yeah, next time.
Next time I'll be there.
Right. It's the last show.
Yeah, still next time.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I've taken your notes. I've internalized them.
Hear what you say? You're respected?
Yeah. I will do better. spoiler alert, I did not do better. I've been in a couple of operas where they're doing the same thing, like, hey, we need you to sing from the da da da. I'm like, so what I'm not gonna do.
Listen, that's not what I signed up for.
I can only do it on stage, I'm sorry. Without the lights and the people, I can't summon the ancestors to do the work. I'm sorry.
The spotlight.
I need it. It's a requirement.
Wrong. The spotlight needs me.
It's
that's what I'm saying. That's why you're the lead.
You get it.
We specifically casted him because of his witty banter. Like anyone else, anything else, like.
Well, yeah, I mean, Ugly has to have that strong shell to be able to make it through the world. So.
And just this, like, awkwardness, I think, too, of, like, because the role
mean?
Is inherent. Like,
what do you mean?
That's what I mean. But I think that speaks to, like, high schoolers in general. Like, high school is just an awkward time. Like,
big facts.
You're telling me.
Just in general, like, so I think that's kind of what, at least from my side of things, like, it's cool to watch them explore this, like the idea of like,
sure.
There's a show and all that stuff, but like finding who they are as people, because I think those are the skills that
right.
we're trying to teach and trying to get them to realize, like, yo, I can handle anything.
Yeah.
Like, the world is my oyster, and I'm gonna eat all day.
So there's a generational thing, I think, especially when it comes to shows like this, where there's a sense of humor and the levity of it, but like tastes change. What we find funny, or what we found funny, is not what you might like. I guess.
Right.
So I guess how as a cast, or even as individual actors, are you processing the material and bringing yourself into these roles?
For me, I try to connect. So what I do is I connect my character's experiences to feelings and emotions that I have felt in the past,
yeah.
and then I just try to like. Challenge, not challenge, like spark up those emotions again, and then that's what I portray on stage. It's not easy all the time, because some of the emotions that need to be portrayed are not necessarily good ones. Because like I've been in a place like similar to Ugly's, you know, I've been, you know, stared at before, I've been commented on before, and you know, it's not fun, you know, but at the same time, I know that that's in the past, and I know better than to know that I am not in that space anymore. But I can still like bring up those emotions, so I can put my best foot forward on stage.
Yes.
Yeah. For me, I personalize Drake very much so, because I have one of my best friends playing Ida, and so. I just like to mess around with her all the time, and so I have this line, or she says, why don't you come sit on the eggs for a while? And I'm like, oh, I would love to do that, but I won't. You know, it's just, and she tries so hard not to laugh, but it's just so fun because I can do stuff like that because it's her, you know. And so I think it just, it really ups the like realism and the personality of the characters and just like us, the actors as people. And so I think it, like, if you can feel the connection between the characters on stage, and if you then, like, that connection is also felt throughout the audience. Yeah, so.
I did. Good times. There's something really interesting talking with, like, young artists, because I feel like, I don't know, there's a hint of maturity that people your age, I guess, your thought of, like, oh, you're not supposed to be so thoughtful and, yeah, you know, like, critical thinking and unpacking, yeah, these really complex things, yeah, like, no, you're kids, you can't, you shouldn't, blah, 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 blah.
I think that's because once you get past it, you romanticize it.
Sure.
Because it's not to say that when we were that age, we weren't going through big, deep, life-changing things as, right, far as what you've experienced to that point. And so then once you get past it, you romanticize it, and you only remember the best parts and the worst parts rather than, like, all the other stuff that you're going through,
sure,
on the day-to-day. So, you know, people forget what it's like to be a kid.
Facts. Facts.
But I never really grew up, facts. So...
Bruh, you are preaching to the choir right now.
Still, I think like that, like, man, I'm old as shit, but... I'm gonna go play this Xbox real quick.
Vintage. We're vintage.
We're vintage. Yeah, vintage.
I'm a collector's item at this point.
Hey, come on, collector's item. But I think there's also something to be said about growing up in the social media age. It's just different.
It's just different from the rest.
It just is. It's a unique challenge that I think you have to handle in your own kind of,
all right,
beautiful, unique struggle, right, of how to navigate that. As a director, how, right, are you finding navigating
there is
a very clear generational divide.
Yes.
You, right, know, like, how do you navigate that?
Well, and it's interesting, too, because I feel like there's that misconception of, I mean, yes, there's a difference there where our Generation I is used to communicating through technology, and rather than, I think sometimes older generations, myself included, like, stigmatize that of, like, oh, they just don't listen, they're always on their phones, blah, 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 blah. And it's like, what good does that do to, like, make them feel like crap? Like, they're processing information in a different way. They're still communicating, I would argue, probably more than we do. It's just through a screen, and to foster those conversations, like, the only shift I needed to make to have those conversations was, okay, rather than us texting about it, let's just do this. Like, and finding that if you give them the opportunity and give them a little nurturing and a little support and create a space where they feel like they can talk and voice their opinions and have ideas that aren't shot down all the time, like,
yeah,
they'll gladly, like, have those conversations with you. Some of our, like, best conversations happen, like, right after rehearsal's done, where it's like, okay, we're gonna talk for 5 minutes about something, and then 25 minutes, 30 minutes, 45 minutes later, it's like, y'all, it's past Williams' bedtime. I need to go home.
Like, all right, old man.
Oh,
99.
Tired.
I need my Ovaltine and my nightcap.
Throw on her. She wrote in the back.
I just pictured you in, like, a full-on Ebenezer Scrooge, like,
yeah, with, like, a gown, like,
ducking it.
Yeah, ducking it. That's right.
Yeah, I clearly don't have those things.
So here's actually a question for the three of you. I would like to get kind of each perspective. In adding on to the Lincoln High School kind of theater legacy, like, looking at the big picture, how do you feel like this kind of fits in with where it's been and where it's going as you grow as artists and as students, but also as someone who's facilitating that. I'm kind of curious on your perspective on that.
Give me a minute.
No, it's okay. Don't worry. I asked a big question. That's a big question.
That is.
That's a big
question. I was like,
you start.
Okay. Well, I mean, it's interesting. This is my third year here at Lincoln. So we're still kind of in the infancy of our growth, I guess, in terms of, I mean, just a different perspective. There was a lot of turnaround before, and not to shift blame or put, but like being real and being honest, like there were a couple of years where it was different people, different styles. So trying to find what kind of works for us and what works for the growth of the department.
What you can get away with.
Yeah.
Even on a budget point, right? How can I make this happen?
You'd be surprised as to what we get away with.
Right. Well, our conversation earlier, like it's easier to ask forgiveness than ask permission.
That's right.
Words to live by.
Yeah. Take that to heart. So if we were to ever paint the stage, we would totally ask permission first. But I mean, I think from a facilitating standpoint, trying to facilitate that mindset to the kids in terms of, because I think they see some of the other groups around the community and see some really strong quality programs, and trying to get them into that mindset of like, yo, we're just as good, we're just as hard, we can get there. Like, it's just that confidence component of it. So getting them to a point where we're gonna put on good shows, we're gonna sell out every night, like, and we're still growing towards that. We still got a ways to go, but I got a good group. I've had people come in and say, sorry, the rest of like groups around here, like, I got one of the most talented groups of kids that work their butts off around Des Moines. So I'll take that any day.
And what you were saying, this show is kind of a game changer too, because once you get the first one out of the way, word of mouth is going to spread like crazy. So like your crowd size is probably going to grow basically exponentially from the first show to the third if you're doing all three. So
right,
yeah, get ready for that. Get ready for that.
I feel like I've only been here for 2 years. I've done 4 shows. I feel like we, and this is not even just like specifically for theater, but like for a lot of groups at Lincoln in general, I feel like we work better when there's less of us, if that makes sense. Like the bigger amount of people we have, the more probability that not everyone's going to be focused and like we're not going to get as much work done. And so I feel like our stronger shows have been with smaller number of casts. So I think as time goes on and as we do each show, I think we're like slowly learning how to pick and choose which shows we do based on the number of people that we need and the amount of people that we have that we know are dedicated to do it. And I think those are where like we can really shine, because we don't necessarily need to have this wall of sound if we're doing a musical, or like, I don't know what I'm trying to say, but like,
I don't either.
Call my.
I'm just talking right
now. I understand what you're saying. You have a smaller group, you have a more tightly knit group who's willing to put the work in.
Right.
They know what it's going to take to get the job done. And you trust them. You trust them to do what they need to do with minimal, maybe, direction. Like, you know, no need to micromanage. And that makes for smoother sailing.
Yeah, when you're building a community, there are those pillars that you know you can count on, the ones that are, you know, that you know are down for the cause, and also the relationship that you have. You mentioned being able to work with a best friend. Right. There is a give and take there are risks you can take with your close friends that are harder to do with a newcomer to the thing.
Right.
You know, I've done a lot of things with my best friend, you know, who's sitting right by my side right now. Like, and because of that, I think we can speak more honestly, we can be more direct, we can also take a lot of risks and trust each other on that. And building that is, it takes a lot of work and it takes time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But we're getting there.
All right, it's my turn now. now that I have time to think. this is my third production at Lincoln, and this is the first time I'm actually like being on stage, like as a role. Other times I've been on like stage crew, and I'm currently in a position of one of two stage managers. And when I'm like backstage doing stuff, like before a show, I'm chilling in this area that we call the Twilight Zone, and it's kind of like you climb up a ladder, and then it's like an extra storage space kind of,
yeah,
like balcony kind of thing where you can see some cool stuff. And right in front of the curtain, there is this like huge projector screen that is probably as old as the building. And I just see like hundreds of like spray painted tags that said, show name 67,
yeah,
show name 98.
Yeah.
And it is just the most amazing thing to see that, oh, like hundreds and hundreds of people have been here before us, and now we're here.
Yeah.
And like, we are the people that are continuing this legacy and like leaving marks on the stage, literal marks, because there are like there are holes in the stage.
So, what did you do?
Well, funny story. One time the piano fell from the stage.
No.
like a grand piano. Like not the whole piano, like,
yeah,
like a leg like fell through the stage. I think somebody just like stepped and it just went.
Oh, oh no. Wow.
Oh yeah.
Oh.
There's some duct tape over that now. So it's
make sure you vote in your local elections. Get these kids some money, people. Like, please. It matters.
But yeah, no. But yeah, it's really weird to like touch something that is like covered in like dust and grime and be like, somebody 50 years ago did something with this set piece. And
yeah.
It's
high school
whack.
Kids probably did
like,
it on it.
Yeah. Yeah, it's nuts. Because, like, I'll be up here and I'll be like, you know what? About 20 years ago, somebody probably did something not safe for work here. You know, somebody probably did
teenage
something here.
Teenage pregnancy happened here.
Legacy. Yeah.
We have a spot for that, too.
that's a memento from high school right there.
Yeah. Any backstage or troupe traditions?
Oh,
that's share. Well, no, this is a safe place. You can say whatever you want.
Yeah.
Oh, I was gonna talk about Perkins.
Oh, we don't talk about Perkins.
Oh god,
that's probably safe.
Okay.
Yeah,
then
yeah,
you
yeah,
talk,
yeah,
then
yeah,
talk
yeah,
about honking.
All right. So, honking. We all, so everybody, cast and crew, gets around in this big old circle, and so we all go around the circle, somebody goes in the middle, and then they close their eyes, and somebody of authority, some people will raise their hands because they are going to go up to this person and give them like a huge old compliment. Like, so if I was to honk Marquise, he would have his eyes closed, and I would go like, what's up, I really appreciate you, and you've done a lot for this show, and you are amazing, you're an amazing actor, you're an amazing singer, and I like you a lot, man.
Yeah.
Oh, my heart is like so warm right now.
And then we all go around the circle and we just do that for 20, 25 people.
Yeah.
And it's just awesome.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
That is incredible.
Yeah, it really, we do it every night first before the show, and it's just, it really is a big morale booster.
Yeah.
Like, it helps us give some sort of confidence that we might not have, that kind of like calms those
stages. You're validated before you ever even get,
yeah,
on the stage.
Valid.
Yeah.
You're valid. Oh.
I love that.
Right?
That's incredible. Yeah. Is that one of yours?
That's always been our struggle in terms of like, that is, you can't really come in and push a tradition. Like,
yeah.
Like,
it's true.
It just has to kind of naturally and organically happen, yeah, and that's one that...
Don't say you can plant that seed, bro. You plant it.
I mean, as much as I would like to be like, yeah, it's totally cool. Like, no, like, that's all the kids. Like, I remember they came up to me and told me, I'm like, what is this? What? And like, But they handle it. I mean, that's the that's cool so thing cool. about those kids.
That's, cool. that's so cool.
I'm trying to think. Do we have any other, like...
I mean, we have Perkins. So every year, wait, after I want to talk every about show...
okay, so every year after our Friday night show...
Friday night show,
The cast and crew goes out to Perkins. And it may or may not be a good idea, but...
It's not.
It's really, it never is.
It's just this big group of loud kids singing, talking...
Like, by the time that... Driving the 20 minutes after we arrive, the restaurant is empty.
Right. They're like, we're done. Check, please.
Check, please.
Yeah, no. It sucks, and I feel bad that, like, it happens every time we go. But, I mean, it's a tradition, and I think... It's a good way for, like, everyone in the cast to feel like they belong. Because, like, naturally, like, cliques form.
Right.
And, like, groups of people hang out together during rehearsal and during the time that we're together. But I think that Perkins night is one of those nights where we're all together. And we're all talking to each other. And we're all hanging out together. I think it's really good for everyone in the cast.
Another tradition that goes within Perkins is... fake birthday.
Oh, yeah.
So it is predetermined before.
Something got broken.
So fake birthdays before the shows. Everybody's. sticking with it. So everybody predetermines it's going to be somebody's fake birthday today. So we all.
Our crew.
So we all like get together. Right. We all get together behind this person's back and we all say, all right. We're gonna sing happy birthday to this person at Perkins, and they're gonna get a free dessert or something. And then it happens.
It's so funny because the person has no idea.
Right.
Because, so we're all singing the song, and this person's singing along up until it gets to the name.
Right.
And they're like, oh, me? And then for the rest of the song, they're just shocked.
Right.
It's really funny.
Right.
Like, all the cameras are on them, and I'm like...
I would just like to challenge any adults listening to this now to tell me that our youth isn't creative as hell.
Oh, yes. Right? Yeah. Just I mean. Also, way to hack the system. Like,
right.
Somebody's getting some free pie tonight.
What happens when you charge?
One slice and 22 spoons, please.
All of them. Thank you. So then, okay, let's get this housekeeping thing out of the way. Dates. Where we get tickets,
all those
details.
Yes, so it is Thursday, Friday, Saturday night, April 18th, 19th, and 20th,
okay.
7 p.m. Tickets are available at the door, so come to Lincoln High School, it's 2600 Southwest 9th Street, and just come there. Thursday and Friday, normal shows, but we got some really cool stuff planned on Saturday leading up to the show.
Nice.
Yeah, we got a little kind of venturing with some of these things. We have our royal tea party. So it's a young women's empowerment, kind of like tea party style event. So we'll have treats and things like that. But also we have, we hosted a beauty pageant this year, which was really cool and awesome and unique. So we'll have the winners from that beauty pageant, Miss Capital City and her outstanding team, and Miss 8035 and her outstanding team. We'll come and have tea and do crafts with parents and their daughters, and got a bunch of stuff
that's with so
that.
Cool.
Yeah. So so we're asking people to register for that. So just email me, michael.williams@dmschools, so I can make sure I have supplies for you. We have Drake's Delightful Derby. Marquise, you want to talk about that?
Yeah, Drake's Delightful Derby. Named after yours truly. It is like a carnival type thing happening before the show, so it's going to be like booths with activities, games, crafts, food.
All things.
All types of things. You get a chance to meet some of the cast members before the show, talk to people that are involved with the show, and just like, it's like a VIP experience, if you will.
Yeah.
It's really fun. The booths don't cost any money. Some activities may require payment for participation, but... that's from 5 o'clock to 6:30, that Saturday night before the show starts. And that's just going to be like leading all the way up to the auditorium, so in the hallways, Yeah, it's just like
lining the halls. Transform Lincoln on the 20th. We're gonna transform it.
Yeah, so. And that one's for like all children. All that's a family event. So
very cool.
That's really exciting.
I believe we're gonna have like printable duck prints that are like leading up to the auditorium. You know, like how like some Halloween shops have like monster footprints leading up to like the dressing rooms or like the costumes.
Yeah,
we're gonna have that, but like it's duck prints leading up to the auditorium.
Very cool. I love atmosphere, right?
Yeah.
That's the best.
Immersion is important.
Yeah, well, that's the thing is a lot of people don't recognize that like walking into a venue can be the beginning of the experience.
Yeah.
It really is.
It's not just sitting in the auditorium and watching the show, but you can really take your audience on a journey, a wild journey through all the things, through, you know, sight, sound, smells, all these kinds of things. So
you eat with your eyes first.
Yeah.
So
how can you condition them to kind of get to that mood, right?
Yeah, that's very cool. It's very cool. Social media.
Yes, we are on social media. Instagram, IG is Lincoln Theater Arts, all one word, theater spelled R-E, as opposed to
fancy.
I know.
Bougie.
Yeah. All day and all night. All day and all night.
Yes, indeed.
And then on Twitter, it's LHS Rails Theater, again spelled R-E because we're fancy,
uh-huh.
I guess. We're on Facebook, too, Lincoln Theater Arts. I mean, we're everywhere.
I follow. I subscribe. Everyone listening, be like me. Go follow Lincoln Theater Arts.
We post some fun stuff on there. Like, we'll probably throw some like contests and things like that on there too. So keep an eye on the socials.
Very cool. Shall I take it home?
Yeah, take it home.
This podcast is brought to you by our friends at Andrew DSM Power Up
and Susie Sweet Treats, Seeking Gritty is Love, not cocaine. That guy, right?
Madison Ray.
And thanks for joining us, guys. We appreciate you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Break a leg.
Show.
Thank you.
So excited for everyone.
Ducks fly together.
Are you quoting Mighty Ducks right now?
Damn right I am.
As you should every day.
That's right. I wonder if Disney's going to bring that back like they're doing the Sandlot.
Maybe.
I did not know about that.
I didn't know about it either.
Oh, you're welcome.
Breaking news.
I mean.
Yeah. But yeah, we'll see y'all next week. Same black time.
Same black channel.
All right, peace.